نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد ولا تركنوا إلى الذين ظلموا فتمسكم النار صدق الله العظيم. Respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were that unique class of human being who were blessed to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Merely on account of the fact that they were blessed to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they became the best of mankind to set foot on the surface of this earth after the Anbiya alayhimus salam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us and told us that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are examples for you and I. They were embodiments of deen. They were walking examples of the blessed lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every aspect of the blessed lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum is a lesson for you and I. Among these many lessons that we can take from the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, today we wish to dwell for a few moments on just one lesson. And that was the remarkable manner in which the Sahaba radiallahu anhum preserved their Islamic identity. Mulana Abu al-Hasan Ali Mia rahmatullahi alayhi, a great historian of the recent past, he mentions that Sahaba radiallahu anhum came from a backward culture. The culture of the pagan Arabs was one considered backward by the entire world. With it was the way they spent their night and day in a state of intoxication, or how they buried their daughters alive, or how they had tribal wars and feudal wars that lasted for over hundreds of years. They were a backward nation. Yet we look after the advent of Islam, when the Islamic borders began to expand, they now encountered the most advanced civilizations on earth, the Romans and the Persians. This great historian writes and says that if you look at the status of these two people, the Persians had so much of wealth that if a Persian man wore a hat that cost less than 60,000 or 50,000 silver coins, he would be mocked by the elite of society. Their bread was so fine, their roti was so refined, that when Sahaba radiallahu anhum encountered the roti of these people, they thought it was serviettes. They had never seen roti so refined like this before. Their camphor was so refined that some Sahaba radiallahu anhu mistook the camphor to be salt and added it to their food. Now we can well imagine, when people who come from a society that was so-called non-progressive, they encounter what was considered to be the progressive society of the time, in terms of art, in terms of architecture, technology and everything else. Normally a people would be very quick to change and adopt this foreign way because they see it to be attractive and progressive. But Sahaba radiallahu anhum had something that was far more valuable than any alien culture, any foreign culture. They had Islam. They had the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So no matter where they went in the world, they were not changed by other people. Rather, they changed other people. We can go to Egypt, Libya, Morocco, Tunisia, Somalia, Ethiopia, any country. And just for us to ponder, all those countries would have definitely had their ethnic language. Yet today we go and we find so many of these countries speaking the Arabic language. When Sahaba radiallahu anhum arrived on those foreign shores, they would have definitely been the minority. Yet their Islamic ethos and their value of Islam was so strong, they were not changed by the local people. The local people embraced Islam and took on the way of Islam. Just a few eye-opening incidents. Uthman radiallahu anhu is sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an envoy to the Quraysh. His cousin is his host. It is a delicate situation. He is asking for Sahaba radiallahu anhum to be allowed to enter Makkah to perform Umrah. This is when the treaty of Hudaybiyah takes place. His cousin sees him and tells him, O Usman, mali araka mutahashifa. Why do I see you dressed in this undignified, disrespectable manner? He tells him, Asbil, put your pants below your ankles. Your pants is above the ankles. For the kuffar of that time, and for the kuffar of this time as well, having the pants above the ankles was disrespectable. It was something which was a mark of a person not being respected in society. It was something of disgrace for them, for a person's pants to be above his ankles. Uthman radiallahu anhu was not at all bothered by what the kuffar thought. If it was one of us, we'd say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. If it was one of us, we'd say, perhaps, let us put our pants below the ankles and make them happy, then allow the Muslims to perform Umrah. We'd say it's a minor sacrifice for a greater objective. Uthman radiallahu anhu is not apologetic and is not bothered. He says, هَكَذَا إِزْرَةُ صَاحِبِنَا صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wears his lower garment, halfway between the ankle and the knee. If the kuffar like it, good for them. If they don't like it, that's their problem. Why must I change my deen for them? A person has the understanding and the true value of deen in his heart. He knows the value of what he has. Why will he sacrifice his value for the lack of value of the next person? Uthman radiallahu anhu's lesson on that day, not when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Wherever you are, do as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Today we sell our deen for cheapest of things. If we are in a business place, we are told to meet a woman and have a business meeting. We are prepared to do it. If we are told to meet a client in a casino, we'll be prepared to do it. Why? For our livelihood. We'll sell our deen for this cheap, miserly price. Hazrat Maqil bin Yasar radiallahu anhu, sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is eating. A luqma, a morsel of food falls onto the floor. Without a second thought, without hesitation, spontaneously, he picks it up, cleans it and eats it. فَتَغَامَزَ بِهِ الدَّهَاقِينَ. The kuffar who were there, the so-called upper class society of kuffar, they begin to glare at him. So somebody tells him, أَصْلَحَ اللَّهُ الْأَمِيرُ. May Allah Ta'ala keep you well. These people are feeling uncomfortable. You're behaving like a beggar. You're eating food from the floor and there's so much of food in front of you. Why do you need to eat the food from the floor? You're behaving like a person who's in desperate need of food, like a poor person. Hazrat Maqil bin Yasar radiallahu anhu, again, the value of the Islamic way, not at all bothered by what the kuffar have to think. I know my Islam. I will hold on to my Islam. If they like Islam, alhamdulillah. If they don't like it, why must I change my Islam for them? He says, "Inni lam akun li ada'a ma sami'tu min Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li hadhihi al-a'ajim." I am not going to sacrifice the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the sake of these kuffar. For us to just ponder today, I met an alim recently, and this alim had the following story to tell. We are talking today about the importance of upholding the sunnah way of life, the Islamic way of life, preserving our Islamic identity, that wherever we go, we hold on to the way of Islam. We are seen and recognized as Muslims. So this alim says a certain person comes and tells him, Mawlana, what's wrong with you? You didn't make salam to me. I walked past you, you don't make salam to me. So this alim turns around and tells the person, but my brother, how am I supposed to know you a Muslim? There's no sign of Islam on you. No Islamic dress. No sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In my eyes, Allah Ta'ala says, you look the same as any other kafir. So this person turns around and says, yes, but you're supposed to see I have a 786 number plate. This alim has a very witty retort. He says, in that case, your car has more Islam than you. It may seem like something humorous, but scratch beneath the surface humor and look at the reality of what is being said. Where is the Islam in us today? This is the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muslim. But na'uzu billah, we have become ashamed of our Islam. Today we go to an airport. We need to perform wudu, to perform salah. We are ashamed to put our foot in the sink and wash it. The kuffar will look at us strangely and say, look how dirty these people are. We are not saying, mess the bathroom. Make your wudu and leave it in a clean state. But why be ashamed of your Islam? We are ashamed to read our salah in the airport. People will look at us strangely. Look at what these people are doing. Why do we not view it in this light? In that very same bathroom, that kafir man stands at a urinal. In view of every single person entering, he's not ashamed to relieve himself in public. And then he's the filthiest person, he doesn't even wash himself. He's not ashamed to be filthy in public. We are ashamed to be clean in public. To make that kafir happy. Are these the depths to which we have sunk today? That we are not interested in pleasing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We would rather please these kafirs. Respected brothers and elders, when Sahaba radiallahu anhum went to Habsha, escaping the persecution of Quraysh, the Quraysh sent a delegation to spread propaganda and to try and convince the king of Abyssinia that these Sahaba radiallahu anhum were renegades who need to be extradited back to Makkah Mukarramah. So they came with a whole lot of lies. So Sahaba radiallahu anhum was summoned to the court of Najashi to explain their case and to represent themselves. It was the protocol of the court that any person who enters had to prostrate himself before Najashi in sajda. When the kuffar of Quraysh entered, they followed the protocol. When Sahaba radiallahu anhum entered, not one of them made sajda before Najashi. Look at how precarious their situation was. If they have to set one foot wrong, Najashi would send them back to Makkah Mukarramah to torture. It was a question almost of life and death. But not one of them makes sajda. The courtiers of the king begin to make a hue and cry that Malak, la tasjudu lil Malak, what's wrong with you people? You don't make sajda before the king. A non-apologetic attitude. This is our Islam. We will hold on to our Islam. We will not change our Islam for any other people. We know the value of what we have. We are Muslims from our first breath to our last breath. We will uphold the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every facet of our lives. They said this is our deen of Islam. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to only make sajda for Allah. Ba'atha Allah ta'ala ilayna Rasulahu sallallahu alaihi wasallam fa'amarana alla nasjuda illa lillah. Our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to us by Allah ta'ala, and his message to us was, only make sajda to Allah. Do not make sajda for anyone besides Allah. There was no interpretation. They let us make them happy. Let us curry favor with them. Then they'll see us right at the end of the day. They understood the true value is the value of Islam. Everything is in the hands of Allah. Turn to Allah. Allah will see you right. There's no need for anyone else to see you right. Respected brothers and elders, in times as challenging as these, where the challenge of the day is to uphold the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for us to bring alive the way of Islam in our lives, in every facet and aspect of our lives, whether it's in our business, in our weddings, in our homes. Sometimes we enter a person's home, if it's not for a frame saying, Hamim la yunsarun, there's no other deen in that home. When we look into the mirror, do we see deen? The effort today and the challenge today is for us to bring this deen alive once again. And respected brothers and elders, the person who succeeds in this challenge, who passes this test, is the most fortunate of people. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us glad tidings and has promised us saying, مَنْ تَمَسَّكَ بِسُنَّتِي عِنْدَ فَسَادِ أُمَّتِي فَلَهُ أَجْرُ مِئَةِ شَهِيدٍ. We can well imagine the sacrifice of that person who stands on the battlefield and gives his life in the cause of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, at a time when the deen of people is disintegrating, when the condition of people is deteriorating, and deen is becoming something extinct and endangered, at that time if a person takes the himmat and the courage to bring up alive the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his life, that person will have the reward not of one martyr, of 100 martyrs. Respect brothers and elders, Allah Ta'ala grant us one and all tawfiq to realize the value of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way of Islam, and to thereafter hold on to this way of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every other way is cheap and is graceful. There is only izzat and success in the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala grant us one and all. First of all myself and everybody else as well. The tawfiq to hold on to the way of the sunnat. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Thank you.